First of all, I'd like to thank my co-authors that helped with this research that we've been conducting over the past several years. I'm probably going to bring a little bit of a different perspective to the discussion today. The work that I mainly conduct is in soil test development, and one thing that we've been working on in the past few years is the development of soil-based nitrogen tests for both rice and wheat production. And from that, we've kind of developed some different crop rotation scenarios to explain some of our data, and that's what I would like to discuss today. With anything, I always like to bring up the current and future impacts that production agriculture is facing. And really, the rising cost of production, we're in a lull now with our economic depression, but in the coming years, as the economies begin to increase again, we're going to see drastic increases in the costs of fertilizer, fuel, and technology associated with our production systems. But on the flip side of that, we also have to bring to light the environmental issues associated with our production practices. You know, right now, sustainability is a big word that's been used quite often, and how do we increase sustainability of our primary systems? Another one is we've seen dramatic increases in chemical usage within the past decade. We've also seen non-point source pollution increase, and obviously in Arkansas, we deal directly with issues relating to hypoxia in the Gulf. Check plot grain yield, you know, when you're a soil fertility specialist, a lot of times in the field you see phenomena that you can't necessarily explain. And one of those is oftentimes check plot grain yield. When we apply no nitrogen to soils, we see drastic differences in yield. And that's due to the native infertility that exists. And, you know, you can see anywhere from, you know, very low 20% relative grain yield values all the way up to 100 based on this native infertility. And the question that exists is, you know, can we develop a soil test that will predict when these type of phenomena will occur? And that's what we set out to do. And real briefly, I just want to give you a background of what actually alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen is. You know, back in about 2000, University of Illinois basically released a soil test called the Illinois Soil Nitrogen Test, which was a diffusion method that quantified labile organic nitrogen, and what that really includes is exchangeable ammonium and amino sugars that occur in the soil. My colleagues and I have worked extensively on an alternative method that is steam distillation, and what it includes is, you know, it's a very different type procedure in its methodology, but what it gives us is that exchangeable ammonium. There's a possible for some fixed ammonium that is quantified by this method, but it also captures that amino sugar and amino acid pool that's potentially mineralizable in the soil and can have a drastic effect on the nitrogen available to the crop throughout the growing season. You know, from this, I would like to put up the results of some initial studies with rice. And what this is we have developed a calibration curve that will allow us to predict site-specific nitrogen fertilizer needs for rice in Arkansas. And what we've tried to do is kind of take this technology from, you know, a flooded system to an upland crop in wheat, and I want to discuss some of the challenges that we've seen with that. So the objectives of this specific study were to evaluate the influence of crop rotation on winter wheat yields in Arkansas, determine relationship between crop rotation and alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen levels, and then correlate and calibrate alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen to predict fertilizer needs for winter wheat. Basically, the field study that we've developed is located near Fayetteville, Arkansas. It's a strip-split plot design where rotation represents the main plot. And what I'd like to point out here, you know, these crop rotations are not utilized in Arkansas. What we attempted to do here was to create some artificial situations where we could directly see the influence of green manure crops and forage crops on the alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen and the resultant wheat yields. In terms of N-rate as the subplot, we had varying rates from 0 to 224 kilograms of N per hectare, and it was a Captina silt loam with a pH of about 6.5. One thing that this picture unfortunately didn't come through very clear, but the one problem we have in our particular state is late frost. And so, you know, the first year of our data was nailed by late frost, you know, and so only having one site location, it kind of influences the data set that you have, but we were able to get some soil values that can be added to the discussion here. So in terms of data collection, we had several different soil sample depths. We looked at 0 to 15, 15 to 30, 30 to 45, and 45 to 60 centimeter soil depths and increments. And then the soil analysis that we conducted included alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen, total carbon, and then mineral nitrogen. Due to the length of the discussion today and the correlation results that we have seen, I'm only going to be discussing results from the 0 to 15 centimeter soil depth, and then I'm going to discuss alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen, total nitrogen, and total carbon results. So to actually get into the data, orient you with the graph. On the x-axis, we have the year of the crop rotation, and this is essentially you either have a green manure crop or a forage crop in the summer, followed by soft red winter wheat in the winter months. You can see the alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen levels in milligrams of N per kilogram on the y-axis. And the crosses represent green manure rotation, and the solid circles represent the forage rotation. So as you can see initially, in our field study, we had the same alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen levels, and then the influence of the crop rotation had somewhat of a dramatic effect on those levels over the 3 years that we've conducted the study. One thing I will point out is that the site year for 2009 on the green manure crop rotation, you can see it's somewhat lower than what we see in 2010. And one thing that we've found, and I didn't have time to present it here today, is that nitrogen for the alkaline hydrolyzable values is actually found in the 15 to 30 centimeter increments. So that nitrogen shifted down in the profile, and that was due to some heavy rains that occurred near Fayetteville over the winter. So in terms of changes in total carbon by rotation, you can see the year obviously on the X and then total carbon on the Y. We see a steady decline due to the harvest removal of the forage crop. And then you can see, you know, a somewhat increase and then consistency in the total carbon within our green manure rotation. Changes in total nitrogen by rotation, we see a very distinct difference here as the influence of our rotation has an effect. You know, we see a huge difference in the first year, and then following that it starts to kind of equilibrate for this particular soil. It is somewhat of a sandier silt loam soil, and there is a significant leaching potential at this particular site. So really what I want to discuss a little bit further is the correlation of grain yield for these results with alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen. So what I want to try to point out is that we've developed you know, this crop rotation, and we found that the rotation influences the soil test value. That's become pretty obvious. So then the question is even within this, where we're influencing the value, can we still relate it to the crop response that we measure with yield and total in uptake? So from this, we see that we have a very distinct relationship between percent relative grain yield and alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen, not only within the site, but within the two rotations. The green manure is once again represented by the crosses, and the forage rotation by the solid circles. To move on, fertilizer rate calibration. You know, what we've seen is that same relationship carries through when we actually try to predict those in rates that are required to maximize yields at this particular location. You can see we have a very strong relationship once again. We see that the green manure rotation requires less nitrogen, and obviously the forage requires more nitrogen. This is kind of part of a much larger study, and that's obviously the correlation of fertilizer in rate for wheat grown in Arkansas. You can see a limited data set that we have here in the development of that calibration curve. We have, you know, pretty promising results here. We're looking for more extreme type sites where we require much less nitrogen to maximize yield before we can feel the robustness of this curve is there to actually predict in rates. In conclusion, the things, you know, we felt that were important from this study was that crop rotation definitely had an influence on winter wheat yield, alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen, total nitrogen, and total carbon. Alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen is related to wheat response to nitrogen, and it is a predictor of nitrogen fertilizer needs. Alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen quantifies labile N and provides an index, and I want to highlight that once again, it's an index of potentially mineralizable nitrogen. And the one thing that we thought was really exciting about this is that this particular soil test appears to pick up both credits and deficiencies from previous crops. And, you know, the implications of that can be pretty profound when we start looking at where we can apply this. You know, what we hope to do is use this to predict, obviously, the fertilizer needs when we change crop rotations, but, you know, the potential impacts for organic crop production. You know, being able to highlight the credits from green manure crops, but another thing is applying this to our other organic amendments and how that will influence the productivity of our organic production systems. And one thing that I thought was interesting is you could actually use this test to predict what your crop yield would be. And then that way the producer could change his cultural practices based on what he assumed his maximum yield might be for that year. And then obviously we'd like to look at the use of this index in composts and manures. I'd like to thank the Arkansas Wheat Checkoff and the Arkansas Soil Test and Research Board for the funding that led to this research. And I'll take any questions if you have them. Okay, so the question was, what was the green manure rotation? I will remind you that this would be a summer green manure crop, which was actually a cowpea, and then we have a soft red winter wheat as our wheat.
Yeah, so what kind of rain pH, I forget, of the soils that you're looking at?
So this particular soil had a pH of 6.5, and through the course of the rotations, we have seen slight changes in the pH, but nothing significant due to either rotation or fertilizer in rate. Okay.
Thank you.